Hey, Eco Heroes, if you've been thinking that it's about time for you to get your hands dirty and have a go at growing your own produce, then today's episode is for you. We're talking about the things you need to consider when planning your garden to ensure that your efforts don't go to waste and you're rewarded with a bumper veggie crop. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. Outside on and off these past couple of weeks getting our garden ready for our autumn and winter crop with my husband Paul, I've decided to bring him onto the show to chat about what to consider when planning your organic veggie garden. Now, up until just a couple of years ago when it got beyond them, Paul's Italian parents either grew much of their veggies in their backyard or on a separate suburban block in Adelaide, keeping the family in supply of fresh veggies and fruit. I guess it was only natural that Paul would absorb much of this knowledge and passion from his parents, and 11 years ago when we moved into the town where we currently live, Paul quickly made a name for himself as a bit of a vegetable gardening expert. Now, I know he doesn't see himself that way, but he sure knows a lot more about vegetable gardening than I do. My expertise clearly lies in the kitchen, making yummy meals from homegrown produce, and Paul's is very much in the garden, ensuring that we get a good yield. He is methodical, planned, and calculated, whereas I can be a little bit impulsive, impatient, and even a little bit hasty, which are not typically good attributes to have as a gardener. Yep, my impulsiveness has led to some mishaps in the garden that I'd rather forget, but which Paul tends to remind me about from time to time, like the time I planted an entire patch of seedlings without preparing the soil adequately first. It was no surprise when the crop didn't survive. But anyway, today Paul is going to share what you need to consider when planning your vegetable garden to ensure you produce a bumper crop. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks, Laura.
So let's just start at the beginning. Can you tell our listeners today what it was like growing up with parents who had green thumbs? Did they involve you much in the gardening process as a child?
Well, to be honest, Laura, no, because I was really disinterested. I never really was interested at all when I was a child. So that's not completely true. I used to pick the strawberries sometimes because I like to eat them. And I remember shelling peas. Not that I really liked the peas, but I didn't mind shelling them.
Okay.
And that was about it, really.
Really? So yeah. what sort of veggies were your parents growing in your backyard as you were growing up? I know you had chickens. You had to collect the eggs from the chooks.
Yes, I'd love to avoid that as well. I did occasionally. Just about anything you could think of. Tomatoes was always a big one. Cucumbers, strawberries. We had fruit trees, lettuce, beans, rape, which is an Italian similar to lettuce, a bitter lettuce. I used to grow a bit of that. Yeah, pretty well anything, onions, garlic.
So you obviously weren't that interested as a child. So when would you say your interest was sparked in vegetable gardening?
Probably when you asked me to plant a garden, I'd reckon.
I'm not a bossy wife, am I?
Oh, it would have been when we moved to the town we're in and we had a bit of an opportunity to plant something. And I had a bit of more time on my hands, and with some encouragement from the other member of my household, yourself, I started to plant a few vegetables and
and it grew from there.
Yeah, boom, boom.
I guess just for our listeners, we had moved to a town in outback South Australia, and leading up to that we'd lived in Townsville where fresh organic produce was really plentiful. So I moved to this town 600 kilometres north of Adelaide in the Australian outback where there was just one supermarket where typically you'd buy some fresh produce and, for example, peaches might be rock hard. The next day they'd be ripe, and the day after that they'd be all moldy in your fruit bowl. So things weren't super fresh. So yeah, I don't know if I was bossy or just suggesting to Paul, you know, let's get a garden going and let's get over this lack of fresh produce. Let's see if we can grow some ourselves. But anyway, I was pretty happy when Paul took to it and did a really good job. So do you want to have a chat about how you started the garden? And because we were in a rental at the time, and what you did then, and then obviously we moved into our house a few years after that.
Oh, we just had enough room for a few plants. I think I grew a few tomatoes and did some soil preparation and just basically had a go, really. And, yeah, we grew a few things. Then we moved to our bigger house. We obviously had some more room, so planted a few different things and just had a go, really.
Mm. And did you call on any help at the time? Because obviously you were, I guess, a beginner in that stage, so if you hadn't really gardened a lot growing up.
I can't remember having too much advice. I would have probably spoken to my parents a little bit. I guess even though I hadn't had much interest in it when I was younger, obviously I'd been exposed to it, I'd seen it, and I knew just naturally, I suppose, a few ideas. I remember, yeah, my dad came up and helped to set up some shade, which is pretty important up here because it's very hot. Yeah, other than that, I read a few books, I think.
Yeah, we have got quite a few books.
But mainly just went out there and tried and see how it went.
Many of our listeners today are keen to try their hand at growing their own produce, but again, may not know exactly where to start. So what are the steps that you'd suggest they take to get a small veggie patch established, I guess, for the first time?
I think you want to try and start with something that's going to be likely to be successful. So the soil you have in your garden may be okay. The safest thing to do would be to use a raised garden bed and buy some decent soil from a gardening shop and ask for their advice on what sort of soil you'd like to use. Or if you're going to try a hand in your own soil, it's worth just testing it before you start to make sure that it's all right. And the main thing I always try and test as far as the pH, and that's why we've had some failures in our garden, because the pH has been too high. That's why I think so anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The first year or two was okay, but once the nutrients go, you need to add organic matter, really, to try and get the soil up to scratch. So, yeah, soil preparation, depending on where you live, like I say, you might be able to just use what's in your garden, or, yeah, that's a safe thing to do is to buy all the soil and keep it separate from your own garden until it takes that out of the equation.
Yeah, so what sort of vegetables or fruits or even herbs would you suggest people start with? So what are some of the easiest ones to grow?
It may vary depending on where you live, so getting some local advice would be good. Again, at a gardening outlet to see what they recommend. I think generally in Australia, not going too far north, but going more in the south of the country, Mediterranean type vegetables, your tomatoes and capsicums. Some of the easy herbs, maybe basil or a mint. Mint tends to be pretty hearty, so
it tends to take over. Kill it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess rosemary's done well for us too, hasn't it?
Yes, she has done well.
Yes. All right. So, what other aspects of gardening do you think people need to think about when they're setting up their first patch?
You should think about where the garden's going to be located. Obviously, if you have a small area, you might not have too many options, but vegetables need a fair bit of sunlight to grow. Again, it would depend on what you're planting, but as a general rule, make sure they're going to get some sun. But that's probably the main thing. Afternoon shade could be good if you live in a really hot place, or you might need to erect some sort of shade over the top of it. The main thing is just to have a go, really. And then you'll work out what doesn't work and what does work, and you can only improve.
Mm, that's fair to say. Are there any, I guess, stories of success or failure in your gardening journey that you'd like to share with our listeners, Paul?
Well, Laura, actually, I will mention a few things. I think I touched on it earlier. When we first started, our soil is extremely sandy. In fact, I would say it is 100% sand. And I did very little soil preparation, the first couple of years. And basically everything that I planted went really well. So I thought, well, this gardening gig's pretty easy.
Mm.
So we had tomatoes and eggplant, cucumbers. I had so many cucumbers, didn't know what to do with them. Capsicums. We were thinking of all these ways to use them.
We were roasting them, weren't we? Yeah. Giving them away.
Broccoli, cauliflower went fairly well too. And then after a couple of years, things weren't going so well. So obviously whatever was in the soil that was of benefit to the plants, the nutrients had been used up and we hadn't adequately replaced them. So you need to add your compost and vegetables like a neutral pH, so from around about 6 to 7.5 in general. So for us, we need to try and decrease the pH. The soil is very high pH, 8 or 9. So plenty of organic material. You can also use sulfur, although I haven't actually had to use that. So yeah, and then there was obviously that year where, as you mentioned before, you went ahead and planted some stuff and didn't go so well.
Yeah, I think you decided you were having a year off and, yeah, I didn't want to have a year off.
So, yeah, so I guess it's learning. We didn't go so well for a few years, so we're trying to make improvements.
Yeah. I guess a lot of books talk about the crop rotation and how important it is, and we hadn't done that too strictly. I guess we like our tomatoes and our zucchinis and cucumbers and a lot of plants that are from the same family, so it can get a little bit hard to rotate. There's only really two types that we really like, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of literature around about rotating crops, so I guess, as you said, there may have been an odd year where we didn't do anything, so that sort of rested the garden as well.
Oh, and we planted peas and things to add some.
Yeah, peas are the thing that they went well there. So the peas probably went well here because they need a bit higher pH. You just, like I said, the main thing is just to try something and see how you go. I think there's been times perhaps underwatering. It's very easy to underwater your plants up here because it's so hot, and there's other things that, in hindsight, we could have done better, more mulch and checking the irrigation. Like at the start of the year, I'd set it all up and it was working all right, but then you get some blockages and the flow would drop off, and so it's important to go around and check your irrigation as well once you start to make sure everything is keep getting watered adequately.
So on the mulch, what's the main purpose of the mulch? Is it to add more nutrients, or is it to conserve water mainly?
Oh, I think it's both of those. Yeah, you want to have a covering of some sort of mulch. Maybe grass clippings is normally one that most people have got access to. Or obviously you can buy straw or hay or something. Perhaps hay's not so good. You don't want, or some feed for animals isn't so good because it's probably got seeds in it. But you need to try and keep the moisture in the soil, and especially when over summer if it's not raining too much. But it can also help with nutrients as well, depending on what you're using. So
I guess you've come a long way from not being that interested as a child in gardening. What sort of things do you like about gardening these days?
I think it's nice to set something up and see the work, get some reward, some nice fruit and vegetables. That'd be the main thing. So
great. Well, thanks for sharing your tips with us today.
My pleasure, Laura. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Righto, there you go, guys. There's Paul. I didn't show it too much today, but he has got quite a dry humour. I was a bit worried he might start teasing me mid-podcast there, as we used to run a radio show and he'd Yeah, drop some one-liners in there every now and put me on the spot. But anyway, if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd like to let you in on a little secret, as I have some big news coming next month. I've actually been tinkering away on a new offering for a while now, and actually it's been in my head for almost 3 years, would you believe? And I'm getting close to bringing it out into the world. So I can't reveal too much yet, but if you're someone who's been craving a return to nature, to simplicity, to a more meaningful life, then this is going to be for you. Now, this offering will have a vegetable gardening component to it. So if you enjoyed today's topic and are keen to become a little bit more self-sufficient, make sure you head over to my website, lauratrotter.com, and subscribe to ensure you're first to know when my new offering is ready. And Paul will be sharing some of his best tips in this new offering as well. So in the meantime, though, keep listening to Eco Chat, as I've got heaps of great topics coming up over the next month to help you create an eco-ceptional home and to help make green mainstream. Thanks for listening to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofire Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.